ride, let's go. When the voices arise from the storm and the storm and immortalize, let's go. You can find me below. I let the enemy know. When the voices arise from the storm and the storm and immortalize, let's go. You can find me below. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is your boy James, aka Hollywood J Black, live in the building once again. What is good? What is really, really good? This is the Overtime Short Show NBA Bubble. I said that wrong. The Overtime Sports Show NBA Bubble 2020 show. As we all know, we are in week four of the playoffs. Playoffs? Yes, playoffs. We're in a good spot. You know, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling fan-effing-tastic. You know why I'm feeling fantastic? Because I was right. Your boy Hollywood was right on the money with this. He was right on the money with his prediction, his foregone conclusion, his statement of fact. His truest words that he had ever spoken in the history of true words that had ever been spoken. Your boy Hollywood J Black came through with the ultimate prescription, the ultimate prediction that the Milwaukee Bucks did not have what it takes to beat the Miami Heat. Now, give me a second, and we're going to elaborate on that one. We are going to talk about that one. I got to share this one with the masses. You're going to have to bear with me just about 30 seconds. You're going to have to give me uno momento, por favor. In whatever language you want to say it in. Give me a second. I need the people to see what's going on. There we go. Oh, and I'm in a great mood because the Vegas Golden Knights just went up 1-0 on the Dallas Stars. We good, but I ain't talking about hockey tonight. Hockey's not in the discussion. We're not dropping pucks here. But I tell you what we are dropping. We're dropping bucks because that's exactly what happened to the Milwaukee Bucks as the Miami Heat beat them 4-1. They're the number one team in the NBA is out of the playoffs, and I said that this was going to happen. I said this Bucks team, I said this Bucks team was not built to beat this Miami team, but this Miami team, this Miami Heat squad, the Jimmy Bucket squad, the Tyler Hero squad, Kendrick Nunn, Goran Dragic, them boys is bad as fuck. I told you all. I warned you. I said, as soon as this playoff matchup was booked, I said, I don't think that Milwaukee has a chance. I said, this game may go seven, but I think that Miami is going to bring a little something, something. I told you. You can write it down. You can put it across the world for everybody to see that Hollywood J Black was right about the Miami Heat, that the Miami Heat was built to take on teams of this caliber. I said that the Miami Heat, they have one plan and one plan only. They take away the thing that you do best and make you work for it. Matter of fact, the only chance that the Bucks had was with Giannis not being in the game. You said last night, when it was two nights ago, Chris Middleton had to put on the game of his life in order for them to win. Chris Middleton had to put on an all-star performance to beat them boys. And he couldn't do it this time around. Chris Middleton. I'll tell you what the Chris Middleton stat line was, because I'm a purveyor of fantasy basketball provided by FanDuel. He's not a sponsor, not an official sponsor at all by any means. But Chris Middleton, all he could muster tonight in a game that they desperately needed him was 23 points, 6 assists, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, and 6 turnovers. Eric Bledsoe, 9 points, 9 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and a turnover. This is your Milwaukee Bucks, your number one team, your perennial Eastern Conference champions, your perennial NBA champions. I told you last week, this is why you need to watch the show. This is why you need to watch, listen to the podcast, because if you're a basketball fan and you heard my show, you were probably like, yeah, right, Hollywood, that shit ain't going to happen. The Bucks are the best team in basketball. Well, the Heat are the best defensive team in basketball. Eric Spoelstra uses the Pat Riley strategies. This is the same defense that LeBron had when he was in Miami. This time, instead of having a bunch of dudes making a bunch of money, they got one dude making a boatload of money and a bunch of young, hungry guys waiting for a contract. It's the perfect storm. The perfect storm. Goran Dragic is the veteran leader on that squad, hands down. Got more experience than most of the cats on the squad, not named Jimmy Buckets. Jimmy Butler, the true all-star. Jimmy Butler, that dude, that man, mama. Jimmy Butler's that man, mama. You got Tyler Hero balling his ass off. Bam Bam Adebayo balling his ass off. I warned y'all. I said the Heat were going to take it to him. I said, I don't think Milwaukee walks out of this. They ain't no fucking way. The Heat are too damn good defensively. Y'all call it a shocker. I'm telling you, it was a spoiler. Like Paul Heyman says, this wasn't a prediction. It was a spoiler. Go back and listen to the podcast live last week, anchor.fm/Sinful Black Sports. Oh, I'm sorry, Sinful Black Radio. Go ahead and listen back to it. I dare you. I double dare you. Go ahead and listen back to it. I warned y'all. And I said I was going to come back on this show talking mad shit if that happened. And this is where we are. This is where it's at. Them boys were ready. Miami said, you know what? We're not scared of the Bucks. They said, what did they say? Let them come. Niggas said it like Black Panther was in Wakanda. Let them come. Milwaukee wanted none of that. Giannis had amazing games, but he got frustrated when they needed him the most. He couldn't do it. Giannis cost him the win in game two. Once I saw that game two win where he fouled Jimmy Butler in the middle of a three-point stance with zero time left, it was a wrap. You already know. It was a wrap. Jimmy Butler only needed to make one of them free throws, and he was good. And y'all just sitting here like, I'm shocked. I can't believe that this happened. I can't believe that the number one team lost. The Bucks have a deep team and blah, 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 blah. Listen, the Miami Heat have a deeper team. And you know who's on that bench on that deeper team? The defensive guru himself, Andre Iguodala. They saved his ass all season. Shows up for the playoffs. You don't think that he didn't have an impact? That dude had more of an impact than you probably thought. I promise you he did. This isn't a game. It wasn't a game. Listen, watch. Let me pull up these Iggy stats. Give me a second here. Give me a second. Now let me pull up the Iggy stats. While his stats in this last game, it wasn't about the 6 points. It wasn't about the 2 assists. It wasn't about the 5 rebounds, the steal, or the 2 blocks from the small forward position being an undersized small forward shooting guard. It's the culmination of all of that. the whole pie. The sum is greater than what is it? The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. That means that if you added everything up and individually added up to 12, Andre Iguodala actually meant 24. For those people that are unaware of the phrasing, he has been a hawk. Andre Iguodala has been everywhere on that court, causing disruption, causing confusion, causing chaos. And you guys are surprised? What Eric Bledsoe gonna do against Dre Day? What's Eric Bledsoe gonna do against Jimmy Buckets? What is he gonna do against Nun or Dragic? I keep telling y'all, I told you, they weren't ready. Milwaukee wasn't ready for this. They weren't ready last year. And they sure as hell weren't ready this year. They just weren't. They just weren't. You see how easily they got dispatched last year. You guys are all surprised. You're all confused and chaos, and you don't know what to do, and you're scratching your head like, oh, no, my God, why Hollywood? Why did this happen? It happened because you didn't listen. That means you haven't been watching the games. You haven't been watching the entire season. Remember, the Heat are the only team to beat Miami. I mean, the Heat are the only team to beat Milwaukee twice. The only team. There's no other team. Point blank, period. Nobody else has beaten Milwaukee twice this season. And Miami's the only team that did it. I told you. I warned you. This isn't a game. This isn't a game. This is real. And you're going to have to sit there, be wrong, and all your wrongness. You're just going to have to deal with it. I tried to tell you guys, but y'all wouldn't listen. Y'all just was like, oh, no, man. The Milwaukee Bucks are the best team in the world. No, they are not. They have a ton of holes. Once you get past the sixth or seventh man, there are problems. Huge, huge problems. You see, they started Marvin Williams. What was the over Giannis? Marvin Williams, who was almost damn near an all-star in Charlotte with Kemba Walker. Let me tell you what Marvin Williams did. He only had 11 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 turnover. That is it. Done. It's a wrap. This is your king, Giannis? This is your king, East? I don't think so. So now we kick into the second part of this little soiree, which is the Raptors and the Celtics. I said this one was going to go to 7. I'm pretty sure Toronto is going to win the next game. These are the two deepest teams in the NBA, next to the Miami Heat, of course. It's about to get real interesting because the Heat are about to be well-rested in the bubble. They're watching their competition. They get firsthand to see what happens. They're probably praying that the Celtics finish off Toronto so you can see what the best series in the NBA is going to be between the Celtics and the Heat. That would be the ideal matchup. If it comes down to Toronto, given the problems that Toronto is having with the Celtics, Toronto is going to get their ass either swept or maybe win one game. It is a done deal. Wrap it up. Dust yourself off. Try again. I don't know what else to tell you. It's done. It is done. It is sad that has come to this for Giannis, and who knows if Giannis wants to re-up. Who knows? If I was Giannis, I wouldn't. I don't think it's not that. All right, so let's you want me to keep it 100 with y'all? I'm gonna keep it 100 with you. This is from Hollywood to the rest of y'all, to my fans, my peoples who I love so much. I'm going to keep you up 100 with you. And look me in the eye when I tell you, or if you put your ear up to the radio if you hear me on the show, okay? This is what it comes down to. The way that they are coached is not conducive to a healthy basketball environment. And the fact of the matter is that while Budenholzer, their coach, I don't even know that. I think it's Budenholzer. While he's not a bad coach, these are too many heads for him. Budenholzer was used to scrub dudes. You know what I'm saying? Budenholzer was used to running a squad that it really ain't got nothing. Let me make sure I have that right. I'm Budenholzer. I think I want to make sure. Budenholzer. Yep, Budenholzer. I want to make sure I have that. I want to make sure I'm calling his ass out the right. Budenholzer, Budenholzer, whatever the fuck. I'm going to make a Budenholzer. Budenholzer isn't ready for prime time. This ain't it. He has a team full of stars. A team that was built from the top to the bottom to compete for an NBA title. And he just couldn't do it. People have been exposed. Eric Bledsoe has been exposed. Brook Lopez has always been Brook Lopez, but when you don't have Giannis, Brook Lopez or Bledsoe should have stepped up, and that didn't happen. It's a shame. It's a damn shame. Giannis didn't deserve that. But this is also Budenholzer's fault for letting Giannis be Giannis. Now, I understand that Giannis is a star, and you want to make your stars happy. But making your stars happy doesn't make conducive to a team environment. If Middleton doesn't have the confidence to step up in the game to drop this. See, there's a little bit difference between the Milwaukee Bucks and the LA Clippers, okay? You have an all-star small forward, and you have an all-star shooting guard. Both teams have that. But once you get past that, the roles are kind of twisted. They don't have a reliable six-man off the bench. The Clippers do. They're not deep enough. See, the Clippers are about 8-9 deep, which is fairly decent, especially in the Western Conference, to be able to go 8, maybe 9 deep and still be mostly competitive. The Bucks can't say that. The Bucks cannot hold any rights to it. Once that starting five is on the thing, you maybe got DiVincenzo. And that's it. That is it. The Bucks are not going to win in the Eastern Conference having to contend against teams like the Heat, who are stout defensively, that will let Giannis run 30, 40 points, but will cut off everybody else. They're not that good. They're not good enough to do that. They don't have a way to fight them defensively. You got to pray that your shots go down, and that's not a way to play basketball. And now, you have, but on the other end, you have Doc Rivers, who takes advantage of this 8-9 deep. Because once you go the starting lineup with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Pat Beverly, Vika Zubac, and Marcus Morris, who was a steal, by the way, who was New York's finest, by the way. You have Shamet, who's coming into his own in this playoffs. Lou Will, the sixth man, who's coming to his own. Trez Harrell, who's coming into his own. And that's eight deep. That's eight dudes that's coming off like yo, we bout that shit. And you ain't got that. You don't have that in Milwaukee. You don't. Heat, come on. They go 9-10 deep on you. And they're all playing ridiculous-ass defense, balling hard. Ridiculous. Why? And that's what happened. That's what happened to your Milwaukee Bucks. And we say bye-bye to your Milwaukee Bucks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Buckies. Bye-bye. 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 It's something. It's something. It's something to think about. Not only is it something, but it's something. So now let's break down what happened. What's happening in this Toronto Celtics series? Now, we have where were we at last time? We were at the point Celtics had brought out the brooms, swept the Sixers. Toronto finally, they dispatched to their competition, I think, a day after, or maybe the same day. But we knew, before that, we knew it was Toronto Celtics. I'm sorry, last podcast, we knew it was Toronto Celtics, going over my notes. My bad. Excuse me. But the two deepest teams in the NBA, Celtics were about to bring out the brooms. They were up 2-0. We about to bring out the brooms and sweep Toronto out. All of a sudden, Toronto comes roaring back, proving that, again, they're one of the deepest teams in the NBA. And they do the damn thing like they're doing it for TV. They stay did it. They came back to a. Then Boston comes back. Bada boom, bada beam. Boston doing Boston-y things. Check it out. Check it out. Game six. I tell you, Raptors are going to have to win this one. Their back's against the wall, which is going to bring up an interesting game seven, which is probably going to be the second best game seven in the series. Because, listen, it has the potential to be better than that Houston-OKC game because these two teams play tough. If Toronto gets eliminated in the second round after defending their title, that's going to be rough. That's going to be tough for the city. If they came back, take the number two seed, and then – that would be rough as fuck. I don't know. I don't even know how to respond to that one. I don't even know how to even contemplate the rioting and the looting, what would happen if Toronto loses to Boston either tomorrow or in 2 days or 3 days at this point. Both teams are playing hard, though. So it's not like it's a lack of anything. It's just that Brad Stevens is a hell of a coach. And if it took you this long to figure it out, then I don't know what to tell you. But Brad Stevens is the Popovich of the East. And everybody would tell you, he's East Coast Pop. Dude can take what he has and make the most of it. Remember, what was it, 2 years ago? When he had Kyrie in the lineups, and Kyrie got out the lineups, and Boston got deeper without Kyrie Irving? Although it's now proven that Kyrie Irving is almost a team killer, but that's another story for another day, and I ain't got time for that, and I don't want y'all going to be mad at me for saying that yet. Kyrie was out, and Boston became a hellified team in the second half, almost went to the finals with Jaylen Brown and the J&J bros. Jaylen and Jason, and then they got Gordon Hayward back the next year, and it was just beautiful. But this is the Boston team that we're going to get at. I think that if you're asking me right now, it goes to seven. And I don't know who's going to win at that point. But if Boston wins tomorrow or in 3 days, you're going to have the best Eastern Conference Finals in a long-ass time. Book it. The Heat versus the Celtics are going to be more impactful than the Heat and the Raptors. If the like I said just previously, if the Raptors come through, take these next two games and have to play the Heat are going to wipe them out. Five, six games. It's not a prediction. It's a spoiler. And I don't really know what to tell you at that point. But I tell you, it's going to be fun. I'm going to be loving every minute of it. Meanwhile, on the West Coast, something about the West Coast. The Clippers got their head out of their asses and finally dispatched of Dallas, although while trying to cheat while doing it. But don't take my word for it. Ba-dum-bum. Yes, that was the Reading Rainbow thump for those of you in the know. The Clips, after suffering through four games of Pandemic P, finally found Paul George somewhere sitting at a gas station panhandling. And they said, Paul, aren't you supposed to be at the arena? Yeah, man, but I'm broke. I'm broke, dog. I'm broke. Dude, somebody in your body is pretending to be a basketball player and stinking it up. Oh, word? Let me get back there. That's exactly how I felt is what happened, is that the body of Paul George was there for the first four games, but the spirit of Paul George was panhandling somewhere on Central Florida Parkway right outside the bubble. They finally picked up his spirit, dragged his ass back, put his soul back into his body, and Paul George became Paul George again. And once that happened, Dallas did no longer had a chance. I mean, once Dallas. Once Porzingis went out, it was done. I thought it was done, though. Like, when he said Dunzo, when he really wasn't just coming back anymore, I thought it was Dunzo. I don't think that the Clippers would have beat them had Paul George came back. I mean, not Paul George, had Porzingis came back. It just wouldn't have happened. If Paul George, because Paul George would have been Paul George, Pandemic P. I'm sorry, yeah, P would have been Pandemic P. Paul George, the soul of Paul George would have never came back because he was scared of Porzingis, and it was a wrap. So Marcus Morris, who's the dirtiest player in the game, taking his tips from Ric Flair, poking out eyes, stepping on ankles and shit, tried to take out Luka Doncic. And I promise you, this free agency thing is going to get a little bit interesting, because they're going to get a defender. They're going to have to get a small forward now. That's going to be the goal. Not saying that Tim Hardaway Jr. is incapable, but something's got to give. They need a dirty player. They need a Morris brother, essentially, is what it is. What if they get Marcus Morris? What if they get the dirtiest player in the game? I'm down for it. There's a bunch of options that are coming up at small forward, but shit, we'll take Marcus Morris. Dallas will take him in a heartbeat. They can pay him a little bit more than they pay Tim Hardaway Jr. Probably trade him, a three-way trade. Make it beneficial to everybody. The Clippers are going to have to cut some fat somewhere if they don't win a championship the way that this is going. Speaking of the Clippers, they got Dallas. I mean, they got Denver problems now. When I said if Denver wins, or regardless of who won, Denver, Utah, they were going to be cannon fodder to the Clippers. And I wasn't wrong yet, because the first game showed what happened when the Clippers are at full strength. And Denver was way too worn out to try and win that game after going intense versus intense with Utah in seven games. They had no gas in the first game. The second game, however, now we were cooking with gas. Denver put it on them. Denver really, really, really put it on them. I was happy about that one. I was excited about that one. Well, this is the Braves with the brim. I got a Yankee fitted with the brim, but everybody yells at me because I got I wear my Yankee fitted all the time. I'm wearing this one for my dad. Rest in peace. But yeah, this has now turned into an interesting series. Pat Beverly got to talking all that mess. But it's too much. It's too much. It's too much. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Me pissed off, joking, balled out. It was great. It was great. I'm loving this series. This might go to six, probably seven. I think that the Clippers take it. Paul George is playing like Paul George again, so we're straight on that. Who knows? Who knows how that goes? So now we flip out to the other LA team, the Lakers, who dispatched of their Blazers fairly quickly. It was a wrap. It was done. Like that. Done. Dunzo bye. They just didn't have enough firepower, especially without Dame Lillard. It sucks. He left the bubble. Had to go. Bye, Dame. See you later, It's tough. It's tough. On the other side of the spectrum, so we know that the Lakers were advanced. OKC Houston, one of the best series in this playoffs that we've ever seen. It was intense. It was gritty. It was grimy. Chris Paul trying to prove that he wasn't the one that caused all the issues. But OKC didn't really stand too much of a chance once Westbrook got back into the game. Once Westbrook came back, we knew that it was just a matter of time. They won 2 out of 3 after Westbrook came out. Game went 7. It was rough. Chris Paul crying at the press conference. I felt bad for that dude because he said, when we came into the series, we expected to win. But, yo, listen, shout out to Oklahoma City. Shout out to the Thunder first. Before I get into the coach situation, shout out to the Thunder for proving the doubters wrong, because we talked about this at the beginning of the season. I said that the Thunder weren't going to be shit, and boy, I was fucking wrong. The Thunder exceeded all my expectations and probably exceeded their own. Chris Paul proved that he was a true leader, and Billy Donovan put everybody in a position to win. Shout out to the Thunder, man. I didn't think that we'd be talking about the Thunder as a legitimate squad going into the playoffs. I thought at the very least they come close but not scratch the playoffs. But Chris fucking Paul, gritty, grimy, he's a leader. Like, when you're the head of the NBA PA, he was a leader. He was an effing leader, and he led them all the way to the end. He went down with the damn ship. Which now takes me to the latest news that just dropped today, like 2 hours ago. Billy Donovan, head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, is no longer the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder. This was the last year of his contract. They decided to not renew it. They mutually agreed to part ways. It wasn't bad. I would have thought that, given the fact that what they had and let these young players develop, in fact that Billy Donovan spent years helping young players develop and winning a national championship on the grand scale of things, I thought that they were going to build something special. This would have been the perfect time to extend Billy Donovan. But I think that given the situation, given maybe there was a thing that happened. Listen, when this whole situation happened, Oklahoma City wasn't supposed to be contending this year. When they traded Paul George and Westbrook, they weren't supposed to be contending this year. Not at all. And Billy Donovan uses coaching skills, you know, the coaching skills that brought Kentucky into the dance to make it work and come up with a defensive strategy and an offensive strategy that worked wonders against premium competition. I don't know why he would have opted out. I've been sitting here ever since I saw the news and I'm thinking about it. The only thing that I can think of is that Oklahoma City, the management, was upset that he took them to the playoffs. In a down year, he took them to the playoffs. This wasn't supposed to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if Chris Paul ends up traded somewhere. I'm being dead honest with you. I think Oklahoma City had intended to tank with Chris Paul, Shai Gilgeous, Steven Adams, and a bunch of nobodies. But who knew that Lou Dort was going to be a beast? Who knew that Shai Gilgeous was going to be a beast? Who knew? I mean, I knew that Steven Adams was a beast, but who knew that they would all rally around Chris Paul, who was the leader, and they would lead them into the playoffs? They beat everybody this year, at least once. That's something to consider. And maybe Oklahoma City didn't like that. Maybe management didn't like that. Management would have loved the LaMelo ball. There ain't no way to get LaMelo now. I wouldn't trade the first pick. If you're the Timberwolves, I wouldn't trade the first pick at all. Screw that. You're in a perfect spot. Get LaMelo. Get your LaMelo ball on. You got D. Russ as your point guard. LaMelo Ball, Karl Anthony Towns. There's your big three right there. Make it happen. especially when the Timberwolves are not a bad team. They're just not a complete team. They need their Jimmy buckets, as they say. And I think that's what it comes down to. They really need their shooting guard that can ball out. Especially in the West. But I don't know. Maybe Billy Donovan returns to college. Maybe not this year. Maybe he takes a year off, focuses his head right. I mean, but there is a job vacancy. Who got fired? Somebody got fired. I just saw the news. Somebody got fired. NBA coach fired. There is the Pelicans. That is an interesting little thing. But then we got Dwayne Casey's still coaching somewhere. You got the Sixers. That is an interesting spot right there. We know that the Nets job is gone. They hired Steve Nash. There's a lot to go on. There's a lot to think about. And a whole carousel. But, I mean, there's also the Pacers. But I think that Billy Donovan goes to a place where the stars are kind of established and he finds a way to rally around them. I think if you ask me right now, the Sixers' job seems like the most accurate one. It seems like the best place for him. Seems like it might just work there. But then you have to think outside the box. Pacers, a bunch of young guys that could use some guidance. Victor Oladipo, Billy Donovan and those Midwest roots, along with Larry Bird, that might just work there. I think Chicago still doesn't have a coach. That might be a little spot too. The Pelicans, that's something. There's a lot of spots. Could be the Cavaliers. Could be trying to bring homegrown, pay the man a lot of money. I don't know, though. I don't know. I don't like how the Nets dismissed Jaquie Vaughn. He's only been there for a couple seasons. He got him to the playoffs. Without Kyrie Irving, without Kevin Durant, you can't blame Jaquie Vaughn for that. We got him to the fucking playoffs with this shit squad. But maybe he wasn't supposed to get him to the playoffs. Maybe that wasn't. I'm starting to think, and a lot of these teams are mad because they got their teams to the playoffs and they weren't supposed to. A lot of these 7 seeds, 8 seeds. They just when these players get injured, you know, I mean, I would think that GMs, if you bring in players that are shit, I think GMs need to be fired before coaches. That's just my thought, though. We shouldn't be out here firing coaches because the players aren't performing. If the players aren't doing what you pay them to do, and the coaching, for the most part, if you see your coach beating teams, your coach gets them to the playoffs with their coaching. And these players aren't performing. You need to be firing the GM because the GM is the dude that got these players here to begin with. And if they're not fitting into the system, got to say bye to these GMs and these players. Can't blame the coaches. Jaquie Vaughn was put in a shitty situation. He turned sugar into shit. I mean, he turned shit into sugar and then got shitted on in the process like Odell Beckham Jr. I'm not going to talk about that one until tomorrow, though. But that is the reality of the situation, people. This is where we are at in 2020. Now Steve Nash, the head coach, no coaching experience at all. The Nets are trying to get their splash hiring for their splash squad, and I don't know if it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work out the way that they want it to anyway. Oh, we put Steve Nash in charge. Oh, now everything's okay. oh, you geez, you don't happen to think that it's, you know, I don't know, Kevin Durant or, you know, Kyrie Irving or Caris LeVert or Jared Allen? You don't happen to think that that might be the reason why the Nets might be good next year? Just saying. Yet, we got to blame Jakee Vaughn. That's stupid. All right. So, as anybody has been following the show, this is, as we're coming up on, this is the season finale of the Overtime Sports Show. Not series, season. This is the last episode of season 3. Season 4 drops tomorrow. Actually, no. Yeah, season 4 drops Thursday. Thursday night live. No, or is it Wednesday? I got to figure that part out because we got an NFL preview show to do. I can't with the NFL rundown. We gotta do that. We do the NFL rundown and drop it every Saturday. We gotta do that. So check it out. And that's it. That's really all I got for basketball. That's really much the rundown. So first things first, I want to thank everybody. We've been doing this for 3 years now, 2017. We started doing the show. Me and Big Sin started doing the show, and we were doing the show separately from how everybody else was doing it. Well, we started doing the show, we started doing it professionally, start making things happen, and we finally got to a point where we're not, you know, we're doing it right. We're doing it right. It's launched a few other things. If you're listening right now, go ahead and go to Sinful Black TV on YouTube, and we have a bunch of stuff on there for you. Hopefully it attaches to you and you love it, and we appreciate you for wanting to follow us. Also, Facebook is popping. We have Simple Black Gaming that's popping. We got a lot of things in the pipeline. So if you're looking for something outside of sports, we may just have what you need. But if you just love sports, come on back. We're gonna do an NFL. I'm going to do a Thursday night special, NFL little welcome back show. I'll do that for y'all because I love y'all. But that's it. That's it. Season 4. The future is now, old man. It drops tomorrow. So until next time, this is your boy James, a.k.a. Hollywood J. Black, signing off once again. But until next time, we are out this bitch. Deuces.